Blog Talk Radio.
Life, love, and wellness.
Itself. Please use discretion when tuning in. Thank you.
Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome. Greetings, and I'm so appreciative that you tuned in with us tonight to Truthful Tuesdays right here on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. I am Sandy Rogers, and it's my honor and pleasure to serve as your hostess this evening as we present you another fantabulous show. And, you know, I get excited every Tuesday like a little kid because we bring to you the very best experts and those that are passionate about the things that they do and how they serve the world. So tonight is no different. And I'm really excited about what we got going on this year in 2022. So just stay tuned. We'll explain that in a little bit. But before we get into the show, there's always a couple of things that we do beforehand to get ourselves in the right energetic vibration. And first and foremost, we give thanks to our ancestors, to all the ancestors, for they're always with us, especially here on Tuesdays, as we sometimes have a tendency to discuss issues that are not ordinarily talked about in an open setting, you know, like just people talking about things. These are some of those stay quiet in the corner kind of thing, you know, don't let nobody hear what you're talking about. But the ancestors got us, man. I know they got me. They got me standing straight like, time for the okey-doke to end. We got to tell the truth. And so that's what this show is about. It's about bringing real, real information from real, real people. So thank you, ancestors. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We love you. We appreciate you. And, man, for now and forevermore, ashe. Whew. Next, we anchor ourselves in our positive energy. We continue on that line. And this is actually my contribution to the world, and it's my daily inspirational messages. You can find it at revsandy.wordpress.com. And I want to share today's message. It's called Celebrate Today. I'm having a party today, and you are invited. Fun and a good time are guaranteed. Bring an open heart as your gift. Wear your beautiful smile. The time is now and always. The address is my place, your place, our place. Just be sure to attend. The favors, the party favors will be acceptance, peace, joy, forgiveness, and love. The music will be praises of thanksgiving, hope, duration, and faith. We will dance together as a community of folks who love, laugh, and live together in harmony. Your gift takeaway goodie bag will be filled to overflowing with abundance and prosperity in health, finances, and relationships. The guest of honor will be you. Yes, your life is worth celebrating and being grateful. Your life has been what it has been to bring you to this place and history, or her story. You have learned valuable lessons, possibly made some choices that you now think were not the best. To the contrary, those decisions and lessons learned have helped to mold you into the fantastic individual that you are this day. So let's just forget about the past. We'll put it to rest once and for all, and today we celebrate life. And again, that's at revsandy.wordpress.com, and they're delivered automatically to your email if that's what you so choose to do. But thank you, thank you, thank you. It's all about life. It's all about love, and it's all about wellness. So this year in 2022, what we want to do, what our goal is, our intention, is to talk about our health in a very serious expertise way from people that are professional in the arena, in the area. So this month, this first month of January, we're talking about the immune system, because that's like the building block for our health and what we build on. And last week we had a doctor and his wife on to talk about just plain building the immune system. And this week we're talking about the immune system and nutrition, featuring our very own Nurse Harriet. And myself, as a food educator, we'll be talking about nutrition and how it impacts your immune system. Actually, Nurse Harriet is going to go into a little bit more explanation about how the body operates. And so we want to make sure that you guys get it. We want you to get all the information and truly be able to design a plan for your life, right, that fits you and that will bring you optimal health for this new year of 2022. And next month, our plan is to talk about heart health. And so we'll, again, bring it from several different perspectives with experts that'll be coming onto the show and talking from their vantage point or their viewpoint. So audience, you know, you're always invited to join in the discussion. All comments are welcome, and our goal is that every voice is heard that wish to be heard, right? So just call us at 516-531-9819, and you would just simply push 1 on your dial to let us know you want to speak live on air with us. And the only thing that I would request or ask of you is that to maintain the quality of our sound, because some of our regular listeners do not stay up this late at night. And so they ask that, or they come back and listen to it at a different time. And maybe you want to come back and listen to it again. So once your line is open, if you're not speaking, if you would just mute your phone, then that would ensure that there's no background noise coming in. If you would do that for us, we would gladly appreciate it. And if you ever choose to listen to anyone, if you want to go back and listen to Dr. Gabriel Hernandez and his wife, Aisha Ra-El, then you could just go on to our Blog Talk page, which is www.blogtalkradio.com/Sandy Rogers, and that's spelled SandyRogers. So thank you once again. You're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. I'm going to play one of my favorites in all the world, and I think you probably already know what it is. And when we come back, we're going to start with your immune system and nutrition, and we'll be right back.
I just want to pick somebody up. Pick somebody up. just want to give what I have to give. Maybe it'll pick somebody up. Smiling faces, warm embraces, lovers walking hand in hand. Revolution is no solution to the tragedy of man. Here's my plan, hope I can pick somebody up. Somebody, oh, honey, when you give your love to me, together we can make some history. Maybe it'll pick somebody up. I'll go along to get along and sell my soul. That'll hit away this Papa Rose. When I live it, it'll pick somebody up. Oh, yeah. Why are you doing this thing? How come you're playing music for people? Getting up early in the morning just to catch a plane, a bus, and a train. Going insane, fanning the flame. So then why? Is it for love? Is it for self-expression? Is it to combat depression? Is it to make people happy? I mean, I love it. I can hear it. I can listen to what somebody smiles at. But
when I'm happy, when I'm sad, when I'm sorry, and when I'm glad. That sunshine turns to rain, and I just can't stand the pain. And I feel I'm going insane till I get back home again. When I think I can't compete, and I just can't find the beat. When I'm old, when I'm young, when my final song is sung, I sure hope we have some fun, spreading love to everyone. So before I tip my cup, I just wanna pick somebody up.
That is such a lively, upbeat song right there. And I tell you, I love that. I love that. And again, you know, he was, he's blind since birth, and all the instruments that you hear in there, the ones that he's not, the guitar he does play, and then the rest of the sounds he makes with his mouth, right? I'm just so impressed with him. Raul Madon, M-I-D-O-N. So welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. Our call-in number here is 516-531-9819. If you'd like to speak live on air with us, just press 1 on your dial. So let's get into the show. We're talking about the immune system, our immune system, and nutrition. So believe it or not, what we consume, what we eat, directly impacts our health. We either eat to live or live to eat. If this is your time to consider making a change, we invite you to come with a willing heart, open ears, and spirit as we explore perhaps new information regarding how to eat to live. But you know, it's not a new concept, because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad wrote a book by that same name back in the 60s. I remember reading it and just really appreciating what a profound viewpoint he had about eating once a day and what to eliminate and, you know, how to eat it and things like that. So Nurse Harriet is going to open us up. She's a veteran nurse of over 40 years of practical experience, and she is the author of, I'm going to say, the best-selling book called Being Smart About Your Health, A Black Person's Guide to Better Health and Longer Life in America. And then I'll be coming up, and I am a former Living Foods Institute right here in Atlanta instructor. I'm an author and also a certified whole food plant-based educator. And there's going to, you know, of course, Harriet and I both have additional titles that we can list, but those are the ones that we know are beneficial or that would help you to understand what we're sharing with you tonight. And we're going to be talking about what foods can turn your health in a more positive direction. Are there any foods that can help build up your system? And can you really eat to avoid being ill or experience less severe effects of illness? So this year our tag is, it's our collective time to offer knowledge to heal ourselves, our families, and our world communities. And that's what we're striving for, to bring you knowledge from various viewpoints. Individuals actually may be saying the same thing, but your ears may be more inclined to hear the message from one person more so than the other person, and their message could have been identical. So that's why we're doing what we're doing. We want to break it down because a lot of times they give us these names that are got 20 to 30 letters in them. You can't pronounce them. They got X, Y, and Z's in them. And, you know, we don't have any words that we use on a regular basis other than X-ray, you know. Xylophone is a musical instrument that I know about, but I don't know if everybody else does. So I'm just saying, we want to take the mystery out of health and wellness and break it down into plain English for you. So again, last week we started the year with the two individuals that own and operate Schmei Pharmacy. And they did a lot to explain to us about our immune system being the perfect memory of our body. And they also introduced or talked about the subject, the lymphatic system, which is our daily detox and cleansing system, and how important that is. And so they gave us a lot of information. They've got a couple of different products out, the Immune Building Box, and also Optimizing Your Immunity. Their website, which is Smai, S-M-A-I, Pharmacy, pharmacy.com. And you can check those out. But just really a very lively show. And a couple of things that I picked up that I really enjoyed from Dr. Hernandez was his affirmations, because he would just throw them in because me and his wife just kept going and going, right? But he said, love in, love out, and truth in, truth out. So in other words, we must be mindful of those emotions that we let in and the thoughts that we carry around with us. And so thank you, Dr. Hernandez, for leaving us with that. And also, I like what he said about eating the sunshine. So that's about, you know, eating, of course, your fruits and veggies from the ground or off the trees. All right, so I'm now going to turn it over to my co-host and the main speaker of today, Nurse Harriet Harris, who is going to add some more on to what was shared with us last week, and she's going to use her knowledge to enlighten us on some additional viewpoints about our body and how it operates. next, then we'll be talking jointly about different foods, or I'll be talking about different food items. And then we'll kind of sum it up and ask you questions, or give you room to ask us questions, rather. So, Nurse Harriet, you ready, darling?
Yeah, I
all righty.
Am. I,
thank
you,
well, thank you for being with us. And always
so
willing to share your knowledge. Oh.
Yes, I love this. I absolutely love this. And I appreciate all the work you put into helping us and encouraging us to maintain our health, to strengthen our bodies, our minds, our spirits, because those things all work together for our overall health. So, and that's what this show is all about.
Yes, ma'am.
So, I want to just continue to speak about our immune system a little bit more. I know the brother last week did an excellent job with telling us the kind of the ins and outs of the immune system. He said it's the system that picks up the trash and takes it out of our body. He broke it down just that simple. The immune system is the body's system which protects us from outside invaders such as bacteria, virus, fungi, and toxins, which are chemicals produced by microorganisms or microscopic particles. It is made up of different organs, cells, and proteins that work together. Now, I got this information from the Johns Hopkins Medical Center website. And I want to encourage all of our listeners, these medical facilities, websites have a wealth of information on there on almost everything that you might have a question about. Johns Hopkins, the Mayo Clinic, two specifically that I go to their websites a lot because studies have been done, surveys have been done on some of every kind of health issue. And if you have any questions whatsoever about what might be going on with your body, you can always find some very valuable and studied information because they do many times follow their people who participate in their studies. They follow them for years, sometimes observing what is going on with people's bodies. So those are reputable sources that we can look into when we have any questions about what might be going on with our bodies. And like I say, my thing is really to encourage us to be our own best advocate for our health.
Yes.
We have to, you know, be in the driver's seat regarding making sure that we stay healthy. And it's like the sister brought out a few weeks ago, the medical care, particularly here in America, is a business. And it's designed to, like any other business, to make money. So they're not invested as much as we should be in keeping ourselves well and in preventing disease. Because if they, you know, if they cured everybody and prevented disease, then they'd be out of business. So we have to keep in mind that, you know, that responsibility lies with us to be our own best advocates for our health. So, in speaking further about the immune system, like I said, it's made up of different organs, cells, and proteins that work together. And there are two parts of it, and that is the innate immune system, and that's the part which we're born with, innate, I-N-N-A-T-E system is what we're born with, and then the adaptive immune system, which we develop when our body is exposed to microbes or microorganisms or chemicals that are released by microbes. The innate immune system is our rapid response system. It patrols our bodies and is the first responder when there's an invasion of some sort, like a bacteria, a virus, or some type of toxin or a microorganism. The innate system is inherited and it is active from the moment we are born. When this system recognizes an invader, it goes into action immediately. The cells of this immune system surround and engulf the invader. The invader is killed inside the immune system cell. And these cells are called phagocytes, P-H-A-G-O-C-Y-T-E-S. They're the cells of the immune system.
Spell that again for me, please.
P-H-A.
T-H-A.
P is in Paul. P-H-A-G-O-C-Y-T-E-S.
Okay.
Phagocytes. Okay. These are actually the immune cells that are part of the innate immune system, which is the system we're born with. Okay. Then we have the acquired immune system. The acquired immune system, with help from the innate system, produces cells, that is antibodies, to protect our bodies from specific invaders. These antibodies are developed by cells called the lymphocytes. And the brother asked, we talked about the lymphocytes.
Right.
This is after the body has been exposed to an invader. These cells create antibodies which fight that invasion in our body. Like, and we hear a lot now about antibodies that we build up to various diseases, particularly the coronavirus. You know, they're saying that our bodies, if we've been exposed to it, will build up some antibodies and provide some immunity to being reinfected by it. But they're finding out that those antibodies are not lasting as long as they would like, because people are getting infected more than once. Okay? But antibodies are the result of the body fighting off an invasion of some type of virus or bacteria or toxin. After the first exposure, the immune system will recognize the invader and defend against it. The acquired immune system throughout our lives, depending on things we're exposed to, it continues to have those antibodies and produce them to protect us. So the cells of both parts of the immune system are made in various organs of the body. I want to break this down a little bit more. We actually have organs in our body that are part of the immune system, and they are. One is the adenoids, which are two glands located in the back of the nasal passage. You know, sometimes people will say they have a sinus infection and the adenoids are swollen back there, because the adenoids are actually swelling up in an effort to remove that bacteria that's causing the sinus infection. The same way with the tonsils. There's the two oval masses that are in the back of the throat. If we get a throat infection, the tonsils may swell up because the tonsils are fighting that infection that's in the back of the throat. Okay? Bone marrow also makes immune cells. The soft, spongy tissue that's found inside of the bone cavity creates immune cells as well, lymphocytes. And then the lymph nodes, which are small organs shaped like beans, which are located throughout the body. These are connected via the lymphatic vessels. And the brother last week talked about the lymphatic vessels, which are connected to the lymph nodes. And these are the trash dispense. These are the ones that pull the invader out of our body and remove it. The lymph nodes trap them, and then the lymph vessels then remove those toxins from the body. And a good example of how the lymph nodes work is, if you've ever seen someone who maybe had to have a mastectomy, you know, a breast removed, and they also had cancer underneath their armpit, the doctor might do they usually will pull out some of those lymph nodes to test them for cancer. And if they find out the cancer has moved into the lymph nodes, they'll remove them as well as the breast. And if you've ever seen a woman who may get some swelling in her arm after having had a breast removed, that's because those lymph nodes that were removed and those lymph vessels that were removed under her arm can no longer make that lymph fluid flow from the body like it should, so it will trap that fluid in her arm. You may have seen women who have one arm that'll stay swollen quite a bit after having breast surgery. Have you ever seen that?
Well, not personally, but what about when you get those other kind of knots up under your arm? And because I've had that before, and I was like in my late teens, early 20s, and the doctor said that it was the deodorant that I was using at the time was clogging up my pores up under my arm. And so the bacteria didn't have a place to come out, so it got stuck there under the skin. And that thing right there was painful. And, you know, when they lanced it and all the goop came out, then he packed it with gauze in there. So would that be a lymph node discharging?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Okay.
The lymph nodes was trapping that bacteria on your arm. That's why they swell. And sometimes they'll swell along the jawline. If you've got like an abscessed tooth or a throat infection, you can feel the lymph nodes swell underneath the jawline. And that's them, again, rising up to rid the body of the infection.
Wow.
Once
once
that infection is gone, you know, they'll generally go back, you know, shrink back down, and you won't even notice that they're there. But they're part of the body's patrolling system for invaders. Okay.
You know, I find that so beautiful.
Isn't that intriguing?
Yes, intriguing is a good word, that our bodies are designed in such a way that, you know, when we come out, we already got, I call them soldiers, you know, they're like, they're our guards, you know, to protect our body. And they're there when we come into this world. That's powerful.
It is. It really is. Then there's something called Peyer's patches, which are lymphoid tissue in the small intestine.
In the intestine?
Uh-huh, in the small intestines. There's some lymphoid tissue.
Okay.
And then the spleen is also, which is a fist size organ located in the abdominal cavity. And, you know, years ago, they didn't know what the spleen did. And, you know, sometimes people would have to have their spleen removed if they got maybe like a blow to the abdomen or some type of injury to the abdomen. They would take the spleen out, too, because it would also be, it may also be ruptured. But that's part of the lymphoid system. And it's sitting there, too, to fight the body's bacteria and viruses. All right, and then there's the thymus, which is two lobes that join in the front of the trachea behind the breastbone. And there's it looks like a little bow tie in the back of the throat, the thymus. And that also is lymph tissue. So these organs act like sentinels around our body, distributed throughout our body, to help us fight infections and invaders of, you know, microscopic organisms or even toxins that are created by, toxic waste and methane gas and those types of things that are in the air. They also fight to remove those things from our body as well. So this, the whole immune system really is like the crown jewel of our good health. It really is. It's there, you know, to make sure we remain healthy. So we want to recognize how we can strengthen it. You know, it's there when we're born, so it's not like we have to build it. You know, it's like we got a brand new Mercedes when we were born. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that Mercedes is in good shape. It has everything it needs to run well. But we're going to make sure it's maintained well. That's what's important. Just like you wouldn't take your Mercedes to a shade tree mechanic and let him with just a wrench and a screwdriver work on it. You go take it to the dealership. and let a specialist work on it. So
yeah.
It's the same thing with our bodies, and we're gonna need to get regular maintenance, like having things checked out from time to time. Mm-hmm. Like we would that Mercedes, take it in, get the oil changed, get tuned up, have them put it on the computer and look at all the little intricate systems of it to troubleshoot problems before they start. The same thing with our body. We want to go in, have regular checkups, regular tests, different kinds of tests to make sure that we troubleshoot problems that may be going on with our body before they become big problems. The same thing. All right, now comes the question, how do antibiotics help fight infection? Antibiotics can be used, and, you know, antibiotics are man-made medications that were created to help fight infection. And we've had some great success with using some antibiotics for various bacteria. But antibiotics don't work for infections caused by viruses. Antibiotics were developed to kill and disable specific bacteria. Just like when penicillin was created, they realized that it was very effective for killing the syphilis and gonorrhea. That's like, for instance, those men in Tuskegee had. But they didn't give them any penicillin, so because they were doing a study, you know, to see what effects syphilis would have on the body throughout somebody's lifetime. But penicillin actually would have cured those men, because it is very effective in killing bacterial infection. So antibiotics, like I say, were created to kill specific infections, and they should be ordered to target that specific infection, as opposed to just taking a general antibiotic for anything, because they don't work with viruses such as cold, flu. All right, using antibiotics for viral infections or using the wrong antibiotics to treat a bacterial infection can actually help bacteria become resistant to the antibiotic so that it won't work as well in the future. It is important that antibiotics are taken as prescribed and for the right amount of time. If antibiotics are stopped early, the bacteria may develop a resistance to the antibiotic and the infection may come back. So in other words, if the prescription says take one tablet twice a day for 10 days, then we need to do that, even though by day three we may be feeling better. Day three or day four we may be feeling better. Still, we need to go ahead and finish that whole regimen of the medication, because since it's been ordered specifically for that bacteria, we want to make sure that that bacteria is thoroughly killed by taking it for the time that it is prescribed for. And people sometimes will feel better and say, well, I'll just save some of these till I get that again, or I'll put the rest of these pills in the cabinet here, and I'll have them in case, so-and-so get a sore throat or whatever, But we want to make sure that we take the medicine that's prescribed for that individual and take that whole regimen, of medicine so that the bacteria is actually killed and does not come back. So then, ways that we can keep our immune system strong. One, don't smoke. Eat a diet high in fruit and vegetables. And this is still the information coming from Johns Hopkins, okay? Exercise regularly. Maintain a healthy weight. Do not drink alcohol. If you drink alcohol, do so in moderation. That's what it says. If you drink it, do so in moderation. Get adequate sleep. Try to minimize stress. Hydrate. Take steps to avoid infections, such as washing your hands frequently and being conscious of your physical and environmental hygiene habits. Keep current with all recommended vaccines. Now, like I said, it still comes from Johns Hopkins, okay? They're saying keep current with all recommended vaccines. Vaccines prime your immune system to fight off infections before they take hold on your body. And, you know, honestly, you know, vaccines have been around for almost 100 years. We've had various vaccines, and we've had good success with them treating and even eradicating diseases, things like polio and smallpox and diphtheria and measles, mumps, chicken pox. I mean, they've worked for us for a long time, and so there's, you know, this current resistance to a vaccine, though, you know, is another story. But it's not like we haven't had vaccines around and having, and they've not. It's not like they haven't been working effectively for many, many years, treating many, many diseases. And I won't, you know, comment on the current vaccine issue to say that people have to, we just all have to decide what it is we're most afraid of, that virus or the vaccine, and make our decision from that. We know how many folks that virus is killing. That's not, you know, I'm sure the vaccine may have killed some too, but it's not in the number that the virus is killing. So we each have our own decision to make regarding, you know, that particular vaccine. But vaccines have actually been around and been very effective for almost 100 years now. So
we've got a caller. Harriet, do you want to finish your presentation, or you want me to go ahead and let the caller ask their question?
Yeah, let the caller, like the caller, ask the question.
Okay. All right, let's see what we got here.
Hello, how are you?
314-381.
Yeah, how are you doing
tonight? Give us your name and you're doing well.
My name is Pianchi. And before I say anything, I've been listening to this, your guest. And, sir, I really appreciate what you said. You're one of the most spot-on speakers on this subject that I've heard. So,
thank you.
And, you know, mm-hmm. The thing that you talk about, guess what? I remember going over that in grade school, in middle school and high school. But they don't teach that stuff no more.
No, they don't. Really,
and you know,
don't.
You talk about immune systems. Another way you can strengthen your immune system is take your kids in the backyard and throw them in a puddle of mud and let them play.
Expose them to those bacteria back there.
Absolutely. And me, myself, I hardly ever get sick, even with this virus here.
Mm-hmm.
And myself, daughter, and grandson, and all my kids, we spend a lot of time on the African continent.
Okay.
And, you know, from Egypt, Ethiopia, on down through West Africa, we smell the garbage, we smell the sewage. I put my feet in the Nile River and drink from the Nile. Well, what did I do? I strengthened my immune system.
Yeah. Hey, we used to do those things. We used to know that stuff, you know.
Yeah. And just like this thing with these masks, masks, if the COVID virus is trying to get to your human cell and enter your human cell to get to the nucleus, you're talking about nanoparticles. And masks do not stop nanoparticles. Another point.
No.
Your virus and everything else enter into you three different ways for sure. Mouth, nose, and eyes. Why don't the virus just go around your mask and jump right into your eye?
Well, some people have caught it who didn't have their eyes covered.
Yes, but they don't know what they're doing. They're just doing it because they do it. And see, in your mouth, what is the immune system in the mouth? And I'm not telling you, I want you to tell me if I'm right. It's the saliva in your spit. Because if you ever bit the inside of your jaw, it heals within hours.
It does.
That's a way that bacteria and stuff can get into your body. And in your nose, it's the hairs in your nose, and it's something else called snot.
Yep.
Or mucus.
So you can blow it out.
It traps it. Now, this is what I want to ask you on that. Now they are testing people with these swabs and sticking them up to your nasal passage. But it goes through that snot where it's picking up dead viruses, and all of that's being put into the solution to be sent off the test. Well, is it possible that you got a false negative? They're really looking at dead viruses and thinking it came out of your nasal passage. After all, that swab, when it goes to the nasal passage, it has to pass through the snot that has trapped all kind of stuff.
That's true. You know what? It's hard to know with this thing. It really is.
Yeah, because people don't use common sense there. And the kids in the school ain't being taught anything that's cool on that. But, you know, you hit on some points when you said the spleen, because the spleen is a major immune, because you heard people say that it has had injuries, and if they rupture the spleen is going to release a bunch of stuff back into your body that has a possibility to toxify you to death.
Right. Same thing with the appendix. If it ruptures.
Your appendix, your tonsils. Your tonsils back at the back of your throat. When you breathe in, that air hits the tonsil. It hits that wall of mucus, and it gets trapped.
Yeah.
And another thing, when you you have a cuticle on your fingernail on your finger, and you try to take that out with your mouth. Your mouth has got all kind of bacteria in it. Okay, and if it started to bleed, that bacteria is going to work its way through the blood and try to get up in your finger. Well, your immune system immediately sends soldiers down there to fight that invasion, and that's where your finger swell up right there at the end. And then you go to the doctor, they stick a needle in there, and pus come out. Well, that's dead bacteria. And the leftover weapons that your immune system was using to fight off the bacteria.
White blood cells, part of the lymphatic.
Yeah, and it stinks because cells live, they eat, and they defecate. That's why it stinks.
Really? I didn't know they defecated.
Well, they have to. They eat, don't they?
Yeah.
And they might have a cold one every now and then. I don't know. But I don't want to take up no more time on your show. But I sure do appreciate you. I wish I could talk to you more often on these issues. But
I'll leave my email address at the end of the show here. You can send me an email.
Yeah, because you make it plain. Thank you very much, sir and ma'am. Thank you for having such a splendid guest on such a well worth topic.
Oh, you're so welcome, and thank you for your comments. Very, very good point you made.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
All right.
I want to talk about
good
how we can help. It is. Really is. I want to cover tonight, too, though, how we can give our children a head start on building a strong immune system. And you know how that is, how the new mothers can give their babies a head start on building a strong immune system. Breastfeeding.
Yep.
Yes. So I found some information from the Cleveland Clinic on the benefits of breastfeeding for both baby and mom. And this article describes the numerous physical and mental health benefits for both mother and child when it comes to breastfeeding. And I won't labor the point too much. Breastfed babies have stronger immune system, less diarrhea, constipation, gastroenteritis, reflux, colic. They have fewer colds and respiratory infections like pneumonia. They have fewer ear infections, especially those ear infections that can damage the hearing. They have fewer cases of bacterial meningitis, better vision, and less retinopathy or, eye disease, lower rates of infant mortality, lower rates of SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, less illnesses overall, and less hospitalization. Parents have up to 6 times less absenteeism from work when the mother breastfeeds.
Mm-hmm.
Breast milk provides abundant and easily absorbed nutritional components, including antioxidants, enzymes, immune properties, and live antibodies from the mother. So there's our antibodies again being given from the mother to the baby this time. Mother's more mature immune system makes antibodies to the germs to which she and her baby have been exposed. These antibodies enter her milk to help protect her baby from illness. Breast milk also contains substances that naturally soothe infants. Okay. Breastfed help children are healthier as a result of breastfeeding because they have found that they will have less allergies, eczema, asthma, fewer childhood cancers, including leukemia, lymphomas, less risk of type 1 and type 2 diabetes, fewer instances of Crohn's disease and colitis, stomach upset, lower rates of respiratory illnesses, fewer speech and orthodontic problems or mouth, teeth problems, fewer cavities, less likelihood of becoming obese later in childhood, improving brain function, greater immunity to infection. This is, children who have been breastfed. Then teens and adults who have been breastfed are less likely to develop rheumatoid arthritis and lupus, less likely to develop heart disease in adulthood, less risk of multiple sclerosis, lower rates of pre- and postmenopausal breast cancers for those adults who have been breastfed. Breastfeeding is healthy for mom physically because it promotes faster weight loss after birth, burning about 500 extra calories a day to build and maintain a milk supply for the baby. It stimulates the uterus to contract and return to normal size. There's less postpartum bleeding, fewer urinary tract infections, less chances of anemia, less risk of postpartum depression, and more positive moods for the mom. Healthier for mom emotionally. Breastfeeding promotes the naturally soothing hormone oxytocin and prolactin that promote stress reduction and positive feelings in the nursing mother. Increases her confidence and self-esteem. Increases her calmness. Breastfed babies cry less overall, have fewer instances of childhood illnesses. Breastfeeding can support the wellness of the body, mind, and spirit for the whole family. And in practical ways, breastfeeding is best because breast milk makes travel easier. The breast milk is always clean and at the right temperature. Physical and emotional bonding occurs between the mother and the child. Breastfeeding promotes more skin-to-skin contact, more holding and stroking of the baby, many feeling that affectionate bonding during the first years of life, which will help reduce social and behavioral problems in both the children and adults. Breastfeeding mothers learn to read their baby's cues easier, and the baby will trust the caregiver more so than bottle-fed babies. It helps shape the infant's early behavior, being soothed in the mother's arms. Benefits for life. Breastfeeding can lower the risk of breast cancer, lower the risk of ovarian cancer, lower the risk of rheumatoid arthritis and lupus, less endometriosis, which is an overgrowth of the tissues in the uterus, which can create things like fibroids, less osteoporosis or the bones being weakening, less diabetes, less high blood pressure, and less cardiovascular disease. So there's a wealth of benefits when the mother breastfeeds her baby, for both the baby and the mom.
Breastfeeding was so common for women up until the folks got in here with the formula and decided that the formula was better for the baby. And so then this whole campaign against the inappropriateness of breastfeeding a child, it wasn't the politically correct or proper thing. There you go.
Someplace, a lot of times women didn't have a particular place if they worked. They didn't have a place where they could go and safely pump milk, if they were trying to breastfeed. And there was a lot of pushback with, well, she don't need to do that in this place. Don't be sitting in here doing that. And just women in general, people that don't support your decision because that's not the decision that they would make for themselves.
I think more so though, when Dr. Hernandez talked about it last week about that fear, And so when you start putting out these negative images about what a person is doing that's naturally very beneficial for the child, for the baby, and you're making it ugly or, inappropriate, then a person is going to, start looking at their behavior and wanting to change it. And that's why you hardly ever see it anymore,
Right. But, well, it's getting a little bit easier nowadays, though. And a little bit safer to just breastfeed that baby and not have to run out there trying to find no milk.
Oh, for sure, because we don't know what's in that stuff, and we don't know how it's going to impact our children as they get older, because there's been no research, no studies done. Is this why more children have autism now? Is this why our kids have ADHD and ADD? We don't know what that chemically created stuff. We have no idea what that's doing to our children, Well, let me open up our caller, and then I have another question I want to ask of you. 817-308, you want to give us your name and your comment? Hello? 817. Okay, well, I'm going to leave that line open for a minute. But you were talking about...
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, sorry about that. I had it on mute. Mute every week there. But has anybody ever heard of being born with a veil over your face?
A veil over your face.
Yeah, what that is when you come out of that womb, when you first come out of that womb, before the doctor does anything, you have to take a piece of thin skin off your eyes. So you haven't heard of that?
Yeah, it probably can be something going on with the placenta, which the baby is coming out of. That may, because there's some thin layers to that can come over the baby's face.
Okay, the reason I asked you is because I haven't been, even when I was in school, I didn't get them vaccinations. I didn't get vaccinated for nothing. I have, and I've never been sick. Never had a cold.
Yeah. Well,
can you help me with that?
Can you help? Well, you sound like you're doing pretty good. You don't need any help with that.
Well, what I mean is, what I mean is my immune system doing what it's supposed to do? Is it over working itself?
You know what? If you have not had a cold, your immune system is working in tip-top shape.
Okay.
You know, because my grandfather used to gargle with warm, salty water every morning.
Yeah.
And he never had a cold. Never.
Yeah.
But he always gargled with warm, salty water every morning.
I was just curious.
I think I know that, you know, can kill bacteria in the mouth if the water is warm, and maybe something about the salt, too. But I never saw him have a cold. Never.
And the reason I ask is because I'm almost 70 years old and never had a cold. So I'm thinking, I done missed out on something.
No, you haven't. The cold. You haven't missed out on anything, honey. You've been quite blessed.
On that note, I'm going to say good night.
Okay. Good night.
Thank you so much for
sharing with us.
Sandy, I want to tell you about my my own breastfeeding experience and what a doctor taught me about it and how beneficial that was. So you want to ask a question, though, but you, did you want to go back to it?
Yeah, I do. It kind of goes back to the antibiotics because you made a point, and I want to bring this up because it happened recently with some extended family members, and I just want to get this out here. So first point I want to ask you about clarification. You say antibiotics only treat bacteria. They are not effective on viruses. Is that what you said?
That's correct.
So then the second question.
For COVID.
Okay. So the next question, because you also said to be very careful about taking the full dosage and to take it exactly as it's been prescribed for you. So if that's
correct.
One pill twice a day, you know, blah, blah. So a friend of mine, a very, very dear friend, like a sister to me, felt herself coming down with something, and she took some antibiotics that were actually prescribed for somebody else for whatever reason. So how dangerous or what effect, I'm not going to say that, what effect does that have on the person that's taking it? You know, they may be out of date, or, you know, so what happens to the, can you tell us what happens to the body if you a wrong prescription?
Well, at a minimum, it's not going to cure that infection that you got if it wasn't prescribed for you, at a minimum. On the other end, it could be something you're allergic to. You know, there are some people who are allergic to penicillin and who have what they call anaphylaxis, you know, which is stop breathing behind taking penicillin. So that's one of the pitfalls that you run into when you're taking medicine that was not prescribed for you. Is it something that you might end up being allergic to and end up in the hospital? You know, and then, like I said, either at a minimum, it's not going to treat that infection for you. It's not going to cure that, particularly if it's not a full regimen, you know, the full 7 or 10 days of the medicine. And it may not be something prescribed for the specific bacteria that you have. So you should never be taking medicine that belongs to somebody else. And you should never, you need to get with your doctor and get something specifically ordered for your particular infection. And then the other thing is people have overused antibiotics. so bad.
Right.
Till now they have what we call those super bugs. And you hear all the time where people got some type of infection that they don't have no antibiotic to cure because the person's system has gotten so saturated with so many different antibiotics over time till the bugs mutate into something stronger. And mm-hmm. they become what they call super bugs. So the person suddenly finds themselves unable to be cured of an infection that they truly do need an antibiotic for. But there's no antibiotic
right.
at that point that might be able to cure that condition because their body's been, you know, just saturated with so many different antibiotics over time.
Right.
So that's
right.
why they should be used very sparingly, and very strategically, you know, and very specifically for you, for the time period that they're ordered for the specific bacteria that you have, which is, like I said, a bacteria and not a virus, because they don't have an antibiotic that can cure a virus.
Right.
Okay.
Now I'm going to be concerned that.
That's why COVID is wreaking havoc like it is, because they don't have a cure for that.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to do that in the food when we get to that in just a moment. But
okay.
So we've got
let me just run through this last little bit of breastfeeding knowledge, okay? And I'm not gonna labor this point long. But when I had my son, I decided to breastfeed, so I found a doctor who supported my decision. And that's important, too, to find a doctor who is going to support, you know, what you want to do to maintain your best possible health. And I knew breastfeeding would be the best thing for him, so I found an old pediatrician. He's been a doctor about 30 or 40 years. Anyway, he told me, and because I was concerned about, you know, should I try to put my son on a feeding schedule? Is he going to need to eat every 2 hours, every 3 hours, what? The doctor says the baby will nurse when he is hungry and he will stop when he is full. Let him set his own schedule. He said the baby will nurse about 15 or 20 minutes. And incidentally, 20 minutes is how long it takes the brain to tell the stomach that it's full. Because you ever notice if we eat real fast and sometimes after 20 minutes or so, the brain finally tells the stomach you're full. And you suddenly
find
that you've overeaten because you're eating fast. Because
mm-hmm,
it takes
mm-hmm.
the brain about 20 minutes to tell the stomach that it's full. So breastfeeding takes about that time. And so the child is going to eat until it's satisfied. When its belly is full, it's going to stop. So he said, let the baby set his own schedule. Nurse him when he's hungry. He'll stop when he's full. He said, and under no circumstances, put a pacifier in his mouth or let him suck his thumb. And I said, why is that? He said, because When the child continues sucking, and, you know, the sucking reflex is triggered whenever something is in the baby's mouth, because that's all it knows is when something is in his mouth, it's to suck it. So he said once the baby is full, if you continue letting him suck on something, he will develop what he called an oral fixation, which means the child would then think that whatever discomfort he's having should be relieved by having something in his mouth. The child may become an overeater. He said the child may become an overeater in the future, or he may be a smoker. That's just what he told me. He said when parents give children the signal that, you know, everything that they have, all the discomfort that they have should be alleviated by putting something in their mouth. You ever see parents say, put that pacifier in that baby's mouth so he'll stop crying?
I hate pacifiers.
The baby may be crying for something else. But when you stick that pacifier in his mouth, he gets the signal that all discomfort can be alleviated by putting something in their mouth.
Hmm.
And later on, they may become an overeater or a smoker. That's just what the doctor told me.
Hmm.
And I know you've heard parents, because I have too. Put that thumb in your mouth and hush, honey. Put that pacifier in that baby's mouth. You don't know what the baby's crying for, but you're giving them the signal that all discomfort can be alleviated by putting something in your mouth. He said, do not do that. All right, I'm finished. I'm going to let you go ahead on tape.
All righty, well, I'm going to get that out
because so many parents, you know, get that pacifier. Put that pacifier in that baby's mouth. That baby is not hungry. When that baby's not hungry, nothing belongs in their mouth.
Yeah. I don't like them. I do not like pacifiers, and I don't like playpens because they remind me of a jail, you know.
Yeah.
So we need to let our babies have more freedom to, you know, to move around, to get around, and explore the world. So, I'm going to talk to you about nutrition very briefly, and, you know, I can sneak mine in wherever I can throughout the show since I get to be the hostess. No. Please don't take that like that. But I do want to tell everyone that's listening that it's important that you take the time to start learning your body. Just like the young man that called in and was talking about the veil over his eyes when he was born, what if he didn't have that knowledge? What if nobody had shared that with him and he would not have that experience to be able to relate his good health with, right? So it's the same thing with the food that we consume. So when we eat, we should be doing mental analysis. Well, how did that food make me feel? You know, was I light and happy, or was I heavy and angry, fearful, depressed, you know, guilt-ridden? How did the food impact your overall emotions and how you felt? Because even with natural herbs, it's the same thing. You want to make sure that you start being completely in tune with your body and how it operates, because the doctor's job is to write a prescription, right? And I was trying to say it a different kind of way, but that's the clearest way that I can put it out there to you. If you go from one doctor's visit to the next and you're keeping a record in between those doctor visits as to what you've experienced, then you can actually have a dialogue with your doctor when you go for that annual checkup. And it's intelligent because you have input and you've been recording different things. And so say if you eat bread and your skin starts to swell up around your eyes and things like that, well, that could be something that you can share with the doctor. But if you don't write it down, then chances are you're going to forget. And then you won't know until you leave out the doctor's office and you're driving down the street. You'd be like, oh, man, I should have told him about that. So I want to make sure that I give you that. Start keeping a food diary. Start notating things that you eat and how you feel. We all know that there's chemicals in that turkey, so that on Thanksgiving Day, when the family sits down to eat the turkey and probably a combination of all the other food too, which makes you sleepy. So do you eat other foods that make you sleepy or make you irritable or whatever the effect that it may have on your body? So and then so what may be good for me may not be good for Harriet. What helps me, and just like she was saying with the antibiotics, you know, like what's good for one person may cause damage to another person. And the same thing is true with the foods. And so respect yourself enough to find out what's the best fit for you with the foods that you eat. And, you know, Dr. Hernandez was telling us last week about how our system, our body systems process things differently. And then Nurse Harriet has brought more information to reinforce that tonight as to how special these bodies are created and formed. And she said at birth, we have innate immune system intact when we're born. And then it starts changing when we put, excuse me, new mothers, when we start putting foreign things into our bodies like formulas that we have no idea what is in that stuff. And we're feeding it to our babies. And then we graduate from that into baby foods that, again, we don't know where this processed stuff comes from and what's on the inside of it. So then we start developing adaptive immune system. And it was just really interesting to listen to Nurse Harriet as she explained these different mutations of a perfectly installed system that we have from birth. It's amazing to me that we are so divinely protected, and that even with that, we're still allowing mutations and genetically modified foods and different things to be put into these bodies that's causing so many disruptions into a system that's already perfect or was born perfect. And so I'm just going to give you a couple of food items and tell you the reasons why they're good for the immune system. And then we can add a little bit more next week. I'll take out some time. And then the following week, you know, I can add some more items at that time. But it was extremely important to get that scientific medical part that Nurse Harriet explained to you so that you now fully understand how all of that happened and how the caller was able to call in and say, you know, well, they called it a veil over the eyes and I was born with it and I'm almost 70 and I've never been sick. You know, what a phenomenal report to give. I thought that was incredible. So just be alert. You know. So, and again, you know, keep a diary, keep a log, a notebook, keep whatever and however you want to call it. Keep it handy of the foods that you eat and how it ultimately makes you feel. So in no particular order, these are a couple of foods that helps to boost your immune system. So garlic, which is one of my favorites, is for immunity, stamina, and cardiovascular protection. And a couple of the most important phytochemicals that are in garlic is sulfur and glutathione. So glutathione actually helps to detox the body, just like we were talking about the lymph system, the lymphatic system, and how its whole purpose is to detox and cleanse the body every day. Well, that's what garlic also can do, would help to speed that along. It's great for liver detoxification, and that liver is, that's another system that we need to talk about, is the digestive system. So the liver is your first organ protection when we eat, and so we need to make sure that we keep that cleaned out so that we get the proper absorption of the nutrients that we're diligently putting into our bodies, right? So if the liver is clogged up and not operating properly, then you're not getting full benefit what you are eating. Garlic also has anti-cancer properties, and it improves the absorption of zinc and iron. And one of the more important minerals to fight against this current health situation that we're in is zinc. And so your garlic then helps to improve the absorption in your body of zinc. So that means it's helping you again on another level with fighting the virus. And, you know, when I asked Nurse Harriet specifically if she said that antibiotics do not kill virus, and she said no, right? And so one of the things that my research showed under garlic is the same thing, that antibiotic drugs do not kill viruses, but garlic can. So you need to pay attention to the effects that garlic have, and do your research. Don't just depend on me or Nurse Harriet to tell you everything. Check this stuff out for yourself. So there's an item called goji berries, G-O-J-I, and they have 18 amino acids for your cells, and it also helps to boost your immune system. It's good for eye health with various phytochemicals, and you can make it into a tea. You can cook it in soups. I usually just throw a handful or so in my smoothies. Mushrooms have extensive healing properties, and I'm going to make a promise to myself to start using more and incorporating more mushrooms into my eating. So maitake, that's M-A-I-T-A-K-E, has strong anti-tumor properties and boosts the immune system. Oyster mushrooms is the most cholesterol-reducing mushroom that you can eat. And shiitake is a scavenger of free radicals with anti-hydroxy antioxidant activity, and is great for gastric cancer. Onions have the same glutathione that garlic did. It has the anthocyanin that's only in the red onion. It kills bacteria in the stomach. It contains sulfur, and it offers gastric protection, and it helps to fight off that H. pylori bacteria that's implicated in stomach cancer. So it's going to be really helpful with that. Oysters and clam are great for your endocrine system and your core gene regeneration, that energy that's in the center, right? It has zinc, oyster and clams. Now, remember, zinc is one of those very beneficial must-have minerals that you want in your body. So oyster and clams have zinc, copper, and iron, vitamins B12, and B12 is the largest and most complex of all the vitamins, and clam is the largest B12 food source, followed by the oyster. Zinc deficiency is at the heart of many diseases, and oysters have the greatest level of zinc and is a primary building block for the immune system and the health of your immune system. Cooked oysters retain all of its minerals, so it doesn't matter if you eat them raw or cooked. You're going to still get all of the minerals that's in there. And another that I want to bring up is pomegranate. Now, we used to eat them like, wow, as children, right? They have mm-hmm. the maximum free radical protection. The phytochemicals that are in there are just really incredible. They cause cancer cells to commit apoptosis, I believe is how it's pronounced, APOCTOSIS. What it does is the cancer cells commit suicide, and that's because of the phytochemicals that are in. These are pomegranates, too, and I think they're about going out of season, so if you want to go and grab you some of them, and you want to eat fresh pomegranates, as the nutritional values are not, capital letters, N-O-T, not found in commercial juices. So, you know, things do change when they get into those factories and things. So, again, make sure that you keep up with what you're consuming, how it affects your body, your temperament, your feeling, your emotions. And so we've only got a couple of minutes. So, Harriet, you want to go ahead and give your contact information so that people can contact you once the show is over, please.
You can email me at hharris, that's Harriet Harris, hharris257@aol.com. Or you can hit me up on my website. That is thecircleofsupport.org. Thecircleofsupport.org. Or send me an email, hharris257@aol.com.
All righty. Thank you, ma'am. And another couple of items, too, that are helpful with immune health. And, again, experiment, you know, make teas and things like that. Turmeric, lemongrass, sorrel, ginger, the peels of onion. And, you know, we talked about onions themselves, and orange peels as well. And honey is very good, too. So, again, I will be bringing additional information. And, you know, we may just continue this conversation on because it's important that we all learn together and that we apply and that we share what we've learned from one another and what we've learned by applying some of the lessons that have been taught on the show. And that's what I'm about. That's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So
looking
that it's not just
it.
One person. Yeah, you know, it's the multitudes that's learning and using the information and then sharing with the next person. So, yep, that's what it's all about.
Right.
Whew, what a terrific show, Harriet. Thank you so much, my love.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Love you to the moon and back, as I always say.
Yeah. Awesome, awesome show. Ooh. And there was another caller, but I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to get around to that. And, again, we will continue the discussion next week. Turn in, please, and see what else we're talking about as far as the immune system and the healing and the proper care and strengthening of our immune system go. Oh,
okay.
Boy, that was a mouthful. I'm going to go ahead and say goodnight
great
at this
day.
Point. And it's been such a power-packed evening, just jammed with knowledge and information. So until we meet again, I am Sandy Rogers.
Yeah.
I thank you for listening, participating, and just remember, it's all about life, it's all about love, and it's all about wellness. So until next week, remain blessed, stay safe, and we'll see you same time, same station next week as we continue in the month of January. We're starting off 2022 discussing our soldiers that protect our bodies.
Okay.
Thank you once again, Harriet Harris, Nurse Harriet.
My pleasure.
You are just a storehouse. And get our book, too, you guys. Support her with that, Being Smart About Your Health, A Black Person's Guide to Better Health and Living Longer in America. And that's time. So we're out of here. See you next week. Love you.
It's on Amazon.